including Jerry Starr's column. If you know of any stations which are doing interesting things or a station in your area that happens to go silent, be sure to contact Jerry so he can list it on the AM Switch column. Now here's John Bowker with a look at the travelogue.
Okay, Fred, thanks very much. Well, as a matter of fact, last month what we mentioned was that we would be changing the format a little of the travelogues to see if we could avoid some duplication of stations, because after all, when I take a trip away from my home, the first 100 miles in any direction is apt to be rather duplicative of other trips that I've made from my home. And what I proposed was to start putting together tapes for the travelogue that would give us a travel up and down the dial, and we would at least hear some of the collection of station IDs that I have, air checks, all of them, by frequency. So today, why don't we start with a tape that was made on January 23rd, 1979. Now, I say that partially as an explanation as to why some stations are on the tape and why perhaps a few others are not. For instance, since January 23rd, 1979, I have made a trip into Florida. And if you may recall, there's a biggie down there at 540 on the dial. You won't hear that today on this tape because by 1979, I had not recorded that station. There's another big 540 up in Watrous that I still don't have. I have never heard CBK either in the Midwest nor from New Jersey nor Vermont as I was growing up as a child. So there are a whole bunch of stations, and perhaps some of the listeners to the DX Audio Service, Fred, will recognize that I have some gaps. I have some gaps in this 540 or 550 tape or whatever as we go month by month, and will help augment the collection. That's my hope. Okay, without further word, let's listen to the tape of January 23rd, 1979, 540 on the dial.
Listen every hour to Marine Weather on WDMV, the Delmarva Recreation Station, brought to you by Hancock's Furniture and Appliances in Crisfield, in conjunction with other interested sponsors. 15 minutes now before 2 o'clock. Jeff Hart with you all afternoon long. Hope you'll be there, too. This is WDMV, serving Salisbury and all of wonderful Delmarva from Pocomoke City, Maryland.
KWMT. Fort Dodge, Iowa.
We got the music all day long. Rock cheers.
Country music all day long on WTXN, the Big 54.
Whatever your taste, be it country music, the best in popular music, classical, or heavy rock, you'll find the records or tapes you want at Newt's Record Shop, 3rd Street in downtown Clarksville. Newt's is your music headquarters.
This is WLIX, Islip, Long Island, New York.
Well, at 5:40, that's all she wrote, at least as of 1979. I should hasten to make one thing crystal clear, and that is that those were not all recorded on January 23rd, you know, one day of the year. The collection that I put together of 5:40 station IDs, I did that during the evening of January 23rd, 1979, and they represent a collection of breaks made over about a decade. And that'll be true for each of these, but there are a lot of stations missing, aren't there? I'm a little surprised myself at how few I had at 540. Let's move up to 550, and maybe we'll both be surprised again.
WDBM, AM, FM, and Statesville.
And now stay tuned for Meet the Press, next, when Donald Rumsfeld, counselor to the president with cabinet rank, will be heard on NBC and here on the St. Louis Post-Dispatch station, KSD Radio 55.
Your dial is set at 550 Radio Vermont, WDEV at Waterbury.
Showers, thundershowers expected this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow. KSD records 77 degrees right now. For KSD St. Louis, Emil Wilde.
NBC News on the Hour. I'm Mike Moss with news of widespread strikes by...
That's Joy, Apollo 100 on WXTR with the world's finest music for Providence and Rhode Island from Pawtucket. Good evening, I'm Bob Grassi.
Driving along with your radio on WKRC.
Come on and play
WKRC.
5 in front of 11 at WKRC Cincinnati, Super Radio at 55. We have 5.
This is the 560 kilohertz tape.
Radio 56, the top of the dial. KLZ Denver.
KLZ.
WHBQ with Barry James at 150. That is Clint Holmes and Playground in My Mind. What?
Golden Oldies 56, WFIL. Marth Reeves and the Vandellas burning up the number 6 slot in our countdown today. And here's another countdown extra, this one from the Times.
Sometimes we walk.
Well, what can I say? That's a collection that needs a lot of work. But it's kind of interesting because, of course, the stations, as we record them driving around the countryside, don't come to us necessarily in order of frequency. So we have 107 cassette tapes, one dedicated to each frequency. I really don't need that many because so many frequencies are only going to have a small number of stations. But we got 107 of them anyway. And some of the master tapes that we have not held up well. I guess the big lesson to be learned is if you are trying to tape record anything for the archives, don't buy the 3-for-99-cent kind of cassette tapes. I did that 15 years ago and regret it very deeply now. KLZ in Denver that you heard a few moments ago was recorded from inside an airplane. Well, we won't go further into that. But that's why it fluttered. But the ID that was right after it was at HBQ was not. That was recorded in a car on a less expensive tape. And it has simply not withstood the test of time very well. So, we all know that magnetic tape will hold up a long, long time. But it's got to be good magnetic tape. That's our lesson and our lecture for today. Next month we'll be back with more tuning up and down the dials, and I hope you enjoy it. And if you have any IDs at any of those three frequencies that you didn't hear on this tape, please send them in to the DX Audio Service. And for the service, I'm John Bowker.
Thank you very much, John. And let's turn the microphone over to Mr. Bob Walker with a look at what went on at Anarchon 86. Here's Bob.
At Anarchon 86, Bob Walker for the DX Audio Service with probably one of the most famous DXers in the world, Arthur Cushion of New Zealand. And I know I can't say the name of your town. I have enough trouble.
Cagle.
It's such a pleasure to talk with you here. I know, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of your work and heard of the work that you do. I know you're a monitor for several radio services around the world and the like. I think it'd be interesting, especially since we're a service for the sight impaired, maybe just explain a little bit about how you get around it and do so much, all the monitoring that you do and all the great DX that you've heard throughout the years.
Well, I have had to... I gave up employment in 1960, and I had to sort of put the pressure, you might say, on the BBC and a lot of broadcasters that I would continue to do monitoring, but on a paid basis, because I had to make a living somehow, and the site was rapidly going, and so I did that, and then at the same time we turned our home into half the home into an office complex, and there we work. And while I'm away, two married women are running the business while I'm here, and we have five part-timers who work Saturdays and Sundays and one in the evening, but that's all cancelled in the meantime because I've had to do 2 months work in one, and so the thing, all that sort of thing is done from the home. The outstanding American listening, the North American listening, say in Detroit, we'd hear, you know, WJR and things like that. That's done from our listening post south of the city with aerials 4,000 feet long in a house which is 6 miles from the nearest high-tension power lines. There's no power there at all, solar panels, and we've got these eight enormous aerials running in different directions of the 4,000 feet. So I go down there at least every 2 weeks, if possible, for an evening's listening. But I do manage at home to hear quite a few North Americans still.
You know, I think it's interesting because I know I've read your book several times, and the fact that your sight actually went through years, and it was not necessarily you weren't born sightless, but at the time that you started DXing and you started losing your sight, the fact that you there were not voice synthesizers for receivers and the like. How did you get around that problem?
Well, we had a lot of braille notes using the multi-band receivers, and knowing that if I got onto the local station, say on 720 kilohertz, and out of one of three bands, I might be on 9650. And by using that system, I was quickly able to find a spot on the dial. And then, of course, when the Sony 201 came along, that was the greatest, to my independence, that's ever come about, because I have three of them now, one by the bed, which I can monitor, at 11 and midnight, put my hand out, bung up the frequencies, and there we are. And I've got a Mackay Dymic, which is also tremendous, because it has four controls, 10,000, 1,000, hundreds and units. The controls are marked, and, on a clock face, they're at 12 o'clock, well, I'm on naught, and I want to get Canada, put one on 9, one on 7, one on, and another one on the 55, and there's your 9755 tuned in by this knob operation. I haven't got a voice operation receiver yet, but I've some of the very kind folk here at Anacon have, one of them in particular, has offered to have one in my room for that period, but it's too generous, and I was too busy, but nevertheless, we did try it out, and it was, I can see that's my next move when I get home, to get into that receiver. But so I must stress that all my monitoring must be done on a simple everyday receiver, and the VOA have recently given me a Sony ICF-201, and I use that and a very small aerial for all my reporting to the six international stations I represent on the shortwave broadcast to New Zealand.
Maybe just for everyone who's listening to us, I'm sure not, I don't believe, in fact, there's anyone here at the convention that heard your speech last night at the banquet, your talk, which was very interesting. What stations do you do monitoring for?
Well, I monitor for the BBC, Voice of America, Radio Canada International, Radio Sweden, Radio Netherlands, and the Vatican Radio. And I do a little for the Italian radio, but only once a month, a couple of days at the start of each month. I don't have a regular schedule, but the others, the BBC, is about 70 checks a day from 6 in the morning till 11:30 at night. But there are gaps, of course, and VOA is 10 to 12 New Zealand time, which is 2200, 2400, and again from 1100 onwards, which is 11 p.m. in New Zealand.
I know it's. You from your talk last night, you seem to spend. You do. I think what everyone would like to do, be able to listen to the radio all day long, and you certainly seem quite active in that.
Well, the listening I do is not for program listening at all. It's purely frequency information. We do band surveys of various selective bands, which the CBC asked me to do. And in that, it's a matter of checking each frequency, the location, the strength, and the length of transmission. And it's a practical demonstration of the occupancy of that particular band. And that's we've been doing that for many years. And it's one of the main areas in which I find a lot of news stations, because they're unscheduled, and we have to actually work them out and identify them to make our band survey complete.
I'm going to put you on the spot here for just a minute. Since National Radio Club is primarily a medium wave service, your best medium wave catch, do you have one favorite or one best catch?
Well, I brought with me some verifications, which I think are my best. There's a 30-watt station in Australia, a 50-watt station in India, a 800-watt station in Italy, the voice of the 8th Army in 1945, and in North America, several hundred watt stations, and I would think WILM Wilmington, Delaware, 1450, 250 watts would be one of the most distant. I should explain that on my 2,600 medium wave verifications, over 2,200 are at least 6,000 miles away from my own listening post in the city, and I've verified every state in the US except the four New England states, which are very difficult to hear. But I've got 200 Californians, 75 from Texas, and so on over those years.
I wish I could say the same. Let me just touch upon one more thing here, because I know behind us they're getting ready for you to appear on HCJB, but you've been honored by the Queen, and maybe you just might want to explain that, because it's quite an honor.
This is a member of the British, it's an award, the member of the British Empire, and I received this personally from Majesty the Queen in 1970 in Wellington at a ceremony in the town hall, which was carried by radio and television, and it was in recognition of my efforts in the field of broadcasting and writing and in the field of blind welfare. And then just recently this year, the New Zealand government have made me an honorary ambassador, which means I have considerable areas of information and help and support from the New Zealand government as I tour around, recognizing my 50 years of promoting New Zealand as a broadcaster and writer. And of course, this is reflected in New Zealand in the tourism. It's interesting to note that New Zealand, with a population of 3 million, last year had 700,000 tourists. 140,000 of them were American, and that was a 30% increase. And this is what we're pleasing and trying to do to educate the world that New Zealand is very unspoiled, very natural, and a place you can go and have a most enjoyable leisurely time. And even Stewart Island, south of us, there is no electric power as such in the main system. Everybody has their home generators, and you'd go a long way and anywhere in the world to find a place that's been kept in its natural state over these many, many years. And those are the highlights of New Zealand for the tourist.
It's from what I've heard of it, it sounds like a beautiful country. And I'm just wanted to touch upon one more thing. Your book, The World in My Ears, I know is available on Talking Book Services, I would imagine. And
it's available, Talking Book, from the Library of Congress. It's available in Braille from the Library of Congress. In Canada, it's available from CNIB. And it's available in England from the RSDB. New Zealand, from the Royal New Zealand Foundation for the Blind. It's in Australia, it's available. It's available in Germany, in German, and in several other countries as well. So it's been sold in print in over 70 countries, but it is available in many areas of the world, either in a cassette or in Braille form.
Arthur Cushion, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it, and it's been quite an honor to talk with you today. And in fact, I'll be seeing you again in a week and a half when we meet again in Detroit. But I hope you have a good stay here in the States. I know your wife said you're going to be here for an entire month, and I think she says she's already missing New Zealand and wants to go home.
Yes, well, I haven't had time to miss New Zealand very much because things have been so hectic and rapid, and it's really been overwhelming, the great enthusiasm that the people have to meet us, because, you know, I think there's a saying, you know, a prophet is unknown in his own land. Well, I think that's the case here, because I didn't realize that so many, you know, thousands of people throughout the world who hear my voice, you know, realize that. I think a lot of the folk at the actual banquet would not realize that I was blind until I started getting my Braille out, and away we went. Because when you broadcast, whether you're blind or sighted, you're just a voice behind a microphone, and the disability doesn't come into it. But you can break that down, and it's taken a long time for me even to get to the place where I am to try and educate the sighted world that blind people can do the job just as well as sighted people in many fields of activities. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Arthur.
I'd like to thank Arthur for taking the time to speak with us here on the DX Audio Service, and I'd like to especially thank Bob Walker for taking his recorder up there to Canada to record these interviews for us on the audio service. And in future editions, we'll have Gene Rich from the Voice of America, Michael Murray from the European DX Council, Terry Colgan from ANARC, and Ian McFarlane from Radio Canada International. If you'd like to write to Bob, Bob Walker's address is 45605 Timberlane, Timberlane, Court, number 204, Walled Lake, that's two words, Walled, Lake, Michigan, 48088-3128. It's time now for the Sports Networks column, which is edited by Barry Finkel. And as a guest here in the studio, we have TV sportscaster Vince Koza from WLIO-TV. So here's Vince.
It's time now for the Sports Networks column, edited by Barry S. Finkel. 10314 South Oakley Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. If you have any information on stations who carry specific teams, be sure to write to Barry and let him know. On this edition of the DX Audio Service, we'll look at the Chicago Cubs stations. The announcers for the Cubs ball games are Harry Carey, Vince Lloyd, Lou Boudreaux, and Dwayne Stats. The flagship station of the Cubs ball club, 50,000-watt WGN in Chicago, Illinois, which is 720 on the AM dial. Now here's a list of the stations carrying the Cubs, and we'll start at the bottom of the dial. At 590 in Ironwood, Michigan, WJMS heads the list. Next up to bat, 900 WNNO in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. 910 WAKO in Lawrenceville, Illinois. Out in the Great West, 940 KNST in Tucson, Arizona carries the Cubbies. Another Cub station, 950 WERL in Eagle River, Wisconsin. Also on 950, WKTS in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. 980 WPRE in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin. On 1020, WCIL in Carbondale, Illinois has the Cubs. 1040 WHO in Des Moines, Iowa, and 1050 WDZ in Decatur, Illinois are some old-time call letters that have the Cubs on the air. Also on 1050, WTCA in Plymouth, Indiana. Passing the halfway part of the band, we find the only Tennessee station to carry the Chicago Cubs. They're 1090 WGOC in Kingsport, Tennessee. At 1110 on the dial, a call sign that was in Indianapolis, WFBM, in Noblesville, Indiana. Down south, 1130 WJTP in Newland, North Carolina, has the Cubs blasting away with an awesome 1,000 watts. 1150 KCKY in Coolidge is our second Arizona station. 1170 KKZY in Davenport, Iowa. 1230 WXCO in the home of Insurance Wausau, Wisconsin. 1250 WIZZ in Streeter, Illinois. 1260 KSNO in Aspen, Colorado, providing great baseball action between ski sessions. This, by the way, the only Colorado station to carry the Cubs, and they'd be a good catch with their 5,000-watt daytime signal. 1300 WPFR, Terre Haute, Indiana. 1310 KOKX, Keokuk, Iowa. KOKX is 1KW day and 500 watts night with a directional antenna. Now on 1330, we have two stations, WRAM in Monmouth, Illinois, and KWLO in Waterloo, Iowa. On 1340 in Grand Rapids, Michigan, WLAV has the Cubbies. On 1350, WIOU in Kokomo, Indiana. On 1370, there are also two stations, and they can be confusing since they're both in Iowa. KLBA in Albia and KDTH in Dubuque. On 1380, we have three, KCIM in Carroll, Iowa, WMTA in Central City, Kentucky, and WFCL in Clintonville, Wisconsin. On 1390, we have KLNT, that's in Clinton, Iowa. On 1400 in Marion, Indiana, there's the BAT, WBAT. Another terrible trio on 1440, WMLA in Normal, and WGEM Quincy, they're both in Illinois, and WPGW in Portland, Indiana. Moving on to 1450, there is WEZR in Fort Wayne, Indiana. On 1460, there are two stations with the Cubs, WRTL in Rantoul, Illinois, and WKAM in Goshen, Indiana. On 1470, there are also two stations, The Hut, WHUT, that's in Anderson, Indiana, and WQSN in Kalamazoo, Michigan. On 1480, the two are WRSW in Warsaw, Indiana, and WTDY in Madison, Wisconsin. On the local channel of 1490, there are again three, WDAN, Danville, Illinois, WPBK in Whitehall, Michigan, and the KEDS Sneaker Station, KEDS, in Omaha, Nebraska. On 1510, there is WINU, that's in Highland, Illinois. On 1540, there is WBNL in Boonville, Indiana. On 1560 in Rensselaer, Indiana, there is WRIN. On 1570, there is WIFF in Auburn, Indiana. On 1580, there is WAMJ in South Bend, Indiana. On 1590, there are two to report, WPCO in Mount Vernon, Indiana, and KWBG, Boone, Iowa. Finally, to wrap up the list, there is WCWC in Ripon, Wisconsin. There you have it, all the AM stations carrying the Chicago Cubs baseball games. You have a very narrow window between the time the baseball season ends and radio conditions getting good. So get out there and DX. I'm Vince Koza for the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Thank you very much, Vince, and hopefully Vince will be back with us on future editions of the DX Audio Service with a look at the Sports Networks column. And come to think of it, football season's getting kind of close, so maybe one more baseball report, and then we turn it over to football, at least until April. I should have had this a little bit sooner on the tape, and that is John Bowker's address. Well, here it is anyways, with the corrected zip code. Apparently on a past issue, I did give a incorrect zip code. So here it is, John Bowker's address, correct. And John spells his last name B-O-W-K-E-R. His address is 14 Canoe Brook. That's two words, C-A-N-O-E, Brook, B-R-O-O-K. And the city is Princeton Junction. Princeton, JCT period is the abbreviation, New Jersey, 08550. That's 08550. That's the corrected zip code, by the way. We don't have a domestic DX Digest report for this edition of the DX Audio Service, so what I'd like to do is play for you a speech with Arthur Cushion, which he gave at the 1986 Mayor meeting last month in Dearborn, Michigan. MARE stands for the Michigan Area Radio Enthusiasts, which is a radio social club up in Dearborn area. And Arthur, after he attended the convention for ANARCH, as you heard Bob say, attended the MARE convention, or I should say MARE get-together in Dearborn, and gave a very nice speech. And what I'd like to do for the remainder of Side 2 is play for you some selected topics from that speech. Here's Arthur Cushion.
Well, thank you very much, Randy, and it's a pleasure for Roland and I to be here, and thanks to our host, Ruth, who has been a pen friend of mine for 50 years. She's not interested in radio, but she loaned me her Zenith while we've been in her home to tune around and see what WCAR and WJBK and some of these stations, which we hear and only occasionally in New Zealand. First of all, I want to bring greetings from the SPART member clubs, the New Zealand Radio DX League, the New Zealand DX Radio Association, the DX Australia, and the South Pacific Association of Radio Clubs. It is formed of four radio clubs, two in Australia and two in New Zealand. Some of you are going to say, where is New Zealand? Well, I mean, you know, it's not part of Australia. We're 1,200 miles to the east of Australia, separated by the Tasman Sea. We're probably famous these days for the ANZUS Pact, for the Rainbow Warrior, that the French boat that was the French blew up one of our ships in our harbour recently, kiwi fruit, I suppose. The tourism, we have a population of 3 million, but over 700,000 tourists a year, including 144,000 from the United States. When you go to New Zealand, your dollar's worth two of ours, so it's really a cheap trip. So everything that I talk about is doubled, really, when you got to take it in half to get back to American currency, but that's the way of things. Radio New Zealand, shortwave. You all want to know about Radio New Zealand shortwave. Well, we have a letter here, but to save Ralder reading it, it's from Jonathan Hunt, the Minister of Broadcasting, who says the Prime Minister is dedicated to improving the shortwave service of Radio New Zealand. There's a Royal Commission on Broadcasting sitting at the moment, finished in September, and within 6 months a decision will be made. The main problem, of course, is finance. New Zealand, we have a licence fee for radio and television of $45 a year, and that doesn't keep anybody going these days. So Radio New Zealand is a non-commercial network and a commercial network, both operated by Radio New Zealand, and there is a group of private stations. That's very much similar to the CBC, though the national network doesn't have commercials. We have no commercials on a Sunday, up to 5 a.m. commercials are allowed, so we can carry cricket or rugby from the United Kingdom, any games over there, but after that, Sunday is a non-commercial day.
Invercargill is down at the extreme south of New Zealand, about 1,000 miles south of Auckland. New Zealand's about just over 1,000 miles long. It's a long, tooth-long, thin island. And our proximity to the equator is about the same as Seattle or Quebec City, and probably about... Our weather would be something similar today in summer, but in winter we wouldn't see snow or anything like that. We'd be down 40 degrees. We had a 7-degree frost a week before we left, but a nice bright clear blue sky and a nice day to follow. So that's you know, typical of the weather down there. We're not in New Zealand. If we had a heavy fall of snow, I don't know what we'd do, because there's no snow plows or anything in existence there, but everything would go into the halt. But we do, of course, do some listening outside the city, and I thought just to break this up, I'd give you a little bit of nostalgia. We've got a tape here of some 1957 medium wave stations and one or two 1986 medium wave stations, and that'll let you hear just what the medium waves in 57 are all done at home. The 86 ones are done at our listening post, which I'll we've got photos of here later, aerial views of the shot. So perhaps Michael's here with the recorder. He can just play a little bit of stuff and let you hear some of what DX is really like.
And now here's Red Lion, Pennsylvania, WINB's medium wave outfit.
Second medium wave, channel 516.
And
Here's
a country gone from shortwave, but still not for country.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the BBC Broadcasting Commission transmitting from Broadcasting House, Suva. The time is almost 6 o'clock on Tuesday, the 28th of June.
That demonstrates a very aerial, fairly dramatic sort of reception. You've got a Montserrat on one aerial, switch to a North American aerial, WSM. No change of volume or anything. They just one just goes and the other comes. I was listening on 910 one night and I heard five stations without moving the dial or the volume. And coming from San Francisco across to McAllen, Texas, into the Caribbean, Colombia, and further down to Peru. This is beverage aerials, which are 4,000 feet long, and in fact one's a double beverage, and there's eight of them, and the solar panels on the roof. This is a listing post southeast of the city on a peninsula where there is an aluminium smelter, and we've got the use of the house, which is not about to be lived in because of fallout from the chimney. They have sheep there for firewood and things like that, and we use that area. So that gives you a little bit of idea of what listing is like at our listing post, and the earlier stuff was at home, of course. If some of you want to know what goes on at 212 Erin Street, well, our outgoing mail last year was 3,996 letters. We have a staff of two married women who work in the office throughout the week, and they're working today, they would be, well, local time in New Zealand is 4 p.m. on the tomorrow, I should say, not 4 a.m., I'm getting my time wrong, 4 a.m., it'll be Thursday in New Zealand, and they, as well as five juniors who work after school and the weekend, we work a 7-day a week. The broadcasts include Radio Netherlands, which probably some of you have heard on Media Network, that's been running for some 20 years, also on internally in New Zealand on Radio Rima and 4XD and Radio New Zealand, I have programs, and they are... That has to be prepared in a Braille script, and we have to go into broadcasting to do the Radio Netherlands one, which is recorded on a Monday and heard from Parliament Holland the following Thursday. And those are about 8-minute talks on what I've been hearing. We also do a lot of writing for publications, such as New Zealand Listener, which is read by about 1.3 million New Zealanders, and we have a tailpiece in there inviting people to write to me for details of the radio listening hobby, and we get a lot of a lot of inquiries, a lot of members that way through the DX League in that area. I also write for Electronics Today International in Sydney, which is the main technical publication in the South Pacific. In the monitoring field, we do the BBC, which starts at 6 a.m. in the morning local time, runs through to 11:30 at night. But in summertime, of course, we have 25 hours in the day in New Zealand, which is unusual, but we don't cross the date line. We're on the date line already. So it means I've got to listen to 12:30 a.m. and still start work the staff still come in at 9, so I have an hour's less sleep between the first Sunday in November and the first Sunday in March. But anyway, you've got to put up with these things, I suppose. Voice of America, I check between 10 a.m. and noon and 11 p.m. onwards. That's through the Philippines relay. Radio Canada, check every afternoon our time to North American transmission, which is noon till 3:30 and 4:30 in when you're on standard time. Radio Sweden is on, they've moved a new transmission, the 0930 UTC on 15390. That's a nightly check. The Vatican Radio is a 2210, which is 10 a.m. on 9615 and two other channels, and Radio Netherlands in New Zealand through Bonaire. The receivers I use, the biggest receiver is a Racal, R-A-C-A-L, a British communication receiver, 23 tube. It's a valve receiver, a very heavy receiver, similar to, I suppose, an HQ-180 type of thing. And I do my sort of DX on that. All my monitoring is done on a 201. We have three 201s receivers, one the courtesy of VOA, the other two I purchased, and one in the two in the office and one by my bed. So I can, very unusual hobby that you can work in bed. But, you can put your hand out and bung up the memories and there's your stations or plug them in. Also got an Allied SX 190, which you might know, and I've got a very interesting receiver, and that is a Mackay Dymec DR22. It's got four knobs, and there's 10,000 hundreds and units, and you flick it round to each. I've got markers on them, so when they're all pointing up to the sky, they're all at naught. And if I'm in Canada, I'm the 10,000, of course, I leave that at naught, but the first one turned to 9, the next one 7, and the next one 55, and there's your 9755. I haven't got an audible frequency readout yet, but that's something to have to come. But I've got audible clocks and audible calendars and all the rest. So, you know, voice chips are really the coming thing as far as blind listeners go, because it does give them a lot of independence. Because in the old days, I had to get Rella to look at the scales, and also, you know, I'd be right, go to bed and write something down on a slate and with a ballpoint pen, get up in the middle of the morning, it had disappeared because the pen didn't write. And you're a bit mad because you lost a station that you didn't hear, or you get up in the middle of the night and log a station and record it on tape, and then of course when I get up, Rhonda looks at my book and it might be WJBK, and she said, oh, you heard that way back in 1940 something, so it's a wasted effort, you know. So yeah, I've got a lot of problems really, but anyway. And you've got to, I listen in the dark, of course, because I got an aunt next door who tells my wife that I was up at 2 a.m. so she can't do that any longer. I just keep very quiet and don't turn the lights on and listen in the dark. And here we have a lot of two photo albums, and this is These are verifications, and in the back this is, I don't know if you can see it from that. That's our listening post, the TY with the aerials and the house from the air, and just by the sea. We have order form. We had an order form recently. Jens Frost was very thrilled to know the Prince of Tongan bought a handbook this year off me. So we're even getting into royalty as far as the handbooks go. But we had CBO Ottawa in 1966 in here. I think I've got one or two Detroit stations here. We've got 100 watt Americans. Mainly this is all medium wave, and they're the actual verifications, you know. Have you got CKTB, St. Catharines, I would say, is the most elaborate one. Some of you old timers will probably remember KGIR Butte, Montana, that verified on a sheet of copper. We've got one here from WXRF in Puerto Rico, says that my letter is framed in the station manager's office. Another one from one of the start here from Alice Springs Radio in Australia at 30 watts said my report was the first from outside the town. So I mean, you know, you're really ahead of people. but that's the sort of thing. And this photo album here has got the launching of the book and a very sad picture I had to show Jens Frost. In 1984, we had a flood in Invercargill and swept right through the Invercargill Airport, and all our handbooks had just arrived by air, and they're stacked there, and they were filled with sewage, and they had to be dumped. And he lost a bit of money in insurance, but, you know, those are the things, those are the problems you have when you're shipping stuff. But it's very unseasonable, that sort of thing. I think that's about all I can really tell you. I think the question time's the best thing, because I've been listening since 1935. And in 1951, my left eye went with the detached retina. And in 1954, the right eye went, and I was working in a shoe store. So, you know, It wasn't much use working because all the colours were all the same. It's just like travelling up here. I mean, some people say you're best to travel by train, you see the scenery, but I think the quickest trip's the better for me because the scenery's all the same, so the quicker you get there, the quicker, you know, the quicker you meet people. So we've got long aerials, and we used to go out to Riverton, which was a seaside resort with the sandhills, and we used to have a corrugated iron fence shed up there. We used to it was about 6x3, and we had an old smelly telly kerosene lamp, and we had to carry the batteries up from the calf down below on the road up these hills, and we used to have tents in the sand and in sleeping bags, and that was 1954. That was, you know, that was tough TX. So we had manuka poles, which are poles about 10 foot high, strung all around the countryside with aerials, pointing in different ways. I remember two chaps come along one night and said, "You're looking up with all these aerials," and he said, "I think these people must be giraffe farmers." But I got him to think, so who would have kept fences that high to keep any other sort of animal in? But anyway, I that'll do me. And if you've got questions, and Michael's got something to tell you about EDXE, because Michael's come a long way too, and it's great to have meet Michael for the first time. We've written together for many years, and then we met Terry Colgan in Montreal, and we had the three clubs, those three umbrella organisations, for the first time together. So thank you very much for your interest. Thank you for inviting Rald and I here. We've really enjoyed our stay in Detroit, and it's been a pleasure to come along and impart a little bit of my experience to you. And there's a copy of the book here, which is tell you more than I can tell you. And that article, which has been passed around, was written by a correspondent for An Amateur Radio Action, the name of the publication in Melbourne. They sent a chap over to do a story on me as a personality. And I don't write for that publication, but it's fairly accurate in its description of what goes on. Thank you very much.
Arthur Cushion at the 1986 Mayor Meeting, which was last month. And Arthur spoke on a whole variety of topics with a lot of questions and answers, but that's all we could present for you on this edition of the DX Audio Service. Before we go, I'd like to remind you that the domestic DX Digest East editor is Bill Hale. We gave out this information last month, but we just want to make sure everyone has it. Bill Hale is in charge of the DDXD East, and his address is 9823 North Meadow Street in Converse, Texas, 78109. And we'd like to thank Dave Schmidt for his many years of devotion to the National Radio Club and his help in preparing many DX News bulletins and also the articles for the DX Audio Service. That about wraps up this edition of the DX Audio Service for September 1986. On future editions, we will have more information from the ANARC 86 convention in Canada, which Bob Walker was very nice to tape for us and put together some very nice interviews with a whole variety of people spanning a wide variety of topics and information. And hopefully Phil and I will be able to come back with a lot of goodies from the 1986 National Radio Club Convention that's being held in Newcastle, Delaware this Labor Day. And hope to see some of you folks there. And for those of you that don't make it, like I said, we'll try to get some of that information to you on future editions of the DX Audio Service. That's it. The National Radio Club's DX Audio Service is a copyrighted feature of the DX News Magazine. I'm Fred Volbe speaking. Have yourself a nice day. Get out there and DX.
WXYZ, love in Detroit.